in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, so at the very beginning. We're going to read together all the way to chapter 2, verse 4. So it's a bit of a long one. I want to get really cozy in your pew. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, all was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. God separated the light from the darkness, called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. And then God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters. Let it separate water from water." And so God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the water that was above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. God, the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with seed in it. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to light upon the earth, to rule over the day and the night, separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm and every winged bird of every kind. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas. Let every bird on earth multiply." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle, creeping things, and wild animals of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over the cattle and all things, over the wild animals of the earth and every creeping thing upon the earth." So God created humankind in God's image. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth. Every tree with seed and its fruit you shall have for food. And to every beast of the earth
was so.
God saw everything they had made, and indeed, it was very good. There was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that they had done, and rested from all the work that had been done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that had been done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of God for us, the people of God. As long as this scripture is, every time I read it, it just feels like this breath of fresh air. To tell you a little bit about pastors, the truth is, sometimes we love a long scripture. There's a couple benefits to it, the first of which being, the longer the scripture, the less the sermon. It's a great way to kill time. But truthfully, more than that, as long as this text is, it's even more beautiful. This is the story of the beginning of creation. It's a piece of poetry. It's a piece of art. It's the beginning of humanity's relationship with God. This is a story about how God works, a poem about how the Trinity, that is the parent, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, dance together and created all the world. This scripture is so holy and grounding, friends. It reminds us that before there's anything, before there was us, there was God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. On this Sunday, we celebrate what's known in the Christian calendar as Trinity Sunday. It's not really anyone's favorite church holiday. It's the day in which we celebrate what is known as the Blessed Three in One. When I say it's not anyone's favorite church holiday, I say that only because that is so difficult to articulate. The doctrine of the Trinity, explaining how the Trinity acts and relates to each other throughout the history of Christianity, has been the most debated and the most confusing. This scripture doesn't directly tell us about Christ or the Holy Spirit, but as we read it, we can see they are present. That they are with God, as God says, let us make humanity in our image. And they dance together. These three entities have always been, from the very beginning of time, and so they are the starting point of life itself and every other moment of life. They're the starting point of scripture. That brings me joy, and it's why we always read this in its entirety, friends. To hear the whole story, to see how everything happened, and to see that God is incredibly intelligent in that God and Christ and the Holy Spirit ordered the entire rest of the world and put everything together before God invited humanity into it. I think God knew that if God had started with humanity, we would have been completely lost. In the beginning, there's nothing but darkness, sweeping, formless void, emptiness, and disarray. And in a strange way, that brings me comfort, too. The world lately feels a lot like this. It feels like formless void and emptiness and disarray and darkness. It feels orderless. Life as of late has forced us into the reality that we have not yet arrived. That the kingdom of God cannot be found. And I think that's oddly comforting to me, simply because if we know anything from this scripture, it's that darkness is not new. If we know anything from Scripture itself and the stories we find in the Bible, it's that darkness and sin and humanity harming each other is nothing new. We've been doing it almost since day one. For as long as God has existed, darkness has been around too. Maybe I'm strange for finding this comforting, but my thought process in it is, this story tells us who God is in the midst of darkness and formless void and emptiness and disarray and chaos, and that is in the beginning, when there's howling wind and darkness and void and all of these things which have no direction, when the world was nothing but loud and chaos. Much like the world might feel to some of us now, there's a reason God created us last. Darkness and emptiness would be too much for humanity to grapple with, at least darkness and emptiness in full force. And so God orders everything first. When darkness is looming and winds are blowing, God is unwavering. God doesn't just sit around. When the world is encompassed in darkness, when earth is formless void, God gets to work and starts creating. God moves through his formlessness and this darkness and this thing which our minds make no sense of, and gets imaginative. God looks at this dark, formless nothingness and starts painting and dancing and moving with Christ and the Holy Spirit. The three of them together make art. Somehow, the Trinity looks into the depths of darkness, the most unholy of unholy. Somehow, it looks at chaos and disarray and destruction and says, I can work with this. Somehow, God sees potential and puts it into action. God creates light in the darkness and calls it good. God creates water and sky, land and sea and vegetation and calls it good. God creates evening and morning, birds and sea monsters and cockroaches and calls it good. God creates cattle and everything that creeps on the ground. God creates humanity, which arguably sometimes is a different form of cockroach, and calls it good. When there was nothing but formless void, God looked around and created everything around us now. And then God named it good. This scripture reminds us, friends, that we serve a master artist, a creator, an imaginative entity who takes formless void and darkness and makes beauty. A God who takes mess and chaos and gives it order. A God who works and works and then takes rest before they get back to work again. The scripture tells us that as overwhelmingly daunting as darkness might be, we serve the one who is Lord over darkness, Lord of all creation. As we read this scripture, we see God's imagination goes beyond our own imagination. As it tells us, God creates the evening and the morning and everything in between, the land and the sky and everything in between, the bird and the whale and everything in between. God creates on the spectrum. Because we know you don't just jump from morning to evening, you have sunset and sunrise. You don't just go from land to sea, you have estuaries and marshes and muddy places. You don't just go from bird to whale, you have chickens. I don't know why that seems like the mid-ground to me. God creates humanity, which which exists on a spectrum too. God creates gender, which exists on a spectrum. God doesn't understand creation as this limited thing. It's this and this and everything in between and everything we don't think of. It's the sunrises and the sunsets. It's the dark places no one looks at, and it's the bright places staring right into the sun. And God calls them all good. While formless void and darkness still begins, still exists, and perhaps feels like they're raining right now, we have assurance, friends, in the knowledge that God never stops creating. When the world was done, God didn't put it down, but rather God continues to be active in our world. This is the promise we heard from Christ at his ascension, that God would not sit by idly, but rather that the Holy Spirit of Christ and God are always with us and always working. And the amazing part of all of it is that somehow we can be co-creators. We get to be a part of making more good in the world. As Christians, we've been charged with the care of all creation. We see that in this scripture, and I think it often steps on our toes as it reminds us we're supposed to take care of the earth. And we're not doing a great job of that as people. It reminds us our job is to be caretakers of animals, of vegetation, of wildlife, and things that creep us out like creepy crawly beings. That they're important, and that when God created humanity, the first thing God said was take care of this. And then in addition to being caretakers of creation, God charged us with being our own light. With being a light in the world. To doing this creative work God does. To not just sit by idly and let darkness rage, but to answer the call to be light. The Reverend Dr. Luke Powery, who is the Dean of Duke Chapel, states that as Christians, we're called to be God's artists of hope until the day God fills the void for once and for all. This week, friends, I invite you to find comfort in knowing that darkness rages, that it exists, that formless void and chaos still is there. And to know that we serve a God who is still creating. A God who dances and paints and imagines beyond what any of us could imagine. A God who looks at nothingness and says, I could do something amazing with this. A God who named you, who named us good, and invites us into the creative work of life with God. To sharing Christ's light with others. As you go out this week into this world that feels disordered and dark and chaotic, I invite you to create light where you can in the way that makes sense for you. To lean into the call of being an artist of hope. To speak that hope and light to what feels like formless void. Maybe that looks different for each of us. Maybe for some of us it's giant art projects or painting. For others, maybe it's cooking or hosting meals, making friends, smiling at someone. For some of us, it's doing the work of justice. It's showing up at the protest. For others of us, it's giving our money when we don't have the ability to give our time. Whatever your thing is that creates light and joy, my invitation to you, friend, is to do it. To not let the world dim your light or take your joy. And then my next invitation to you is to rest. To take Sabbath as you need it. For the work of ministry never ends. in the darkness will come. I don't know that that's going to happen tomorrow. And so if you're not careful, the light you have will burn out. Give it rest. Take time for rest.